It's good to see you here this morning. Brother Tim Lindsay is not feeling well. He's safe. We'll be in prayer for him. Today, we do have a couple others that we need to mention for prayer this morning, and we'll open up in just a few minutes for prayer. But remember Brother Tim, also remember Caleb Rivers, so friend of Jesse's, right? Was in a bad car accident last night early this morning, and so let's remember to keep Caleb in our prayers and his family. Remember the Larry Hunter, and also William Owens. I think he is related to Miss Alice Barn. Is not doing well either, and so let's remember them in our prayers today. Do have a thank you card from Miss Phyllis. It says, "For your kindness shown through the way you cared, for thoughtfulness and the blessings shared. Thank you and God bless you. Words cannot express the many acts of kindness to my family during this time and the loss of my spouse, a father, a son, and several family members and friends. Love each one of you. Love Phyllis Crosby." And so we'll put that on the bulletin board. Back there, we had 26 in Sunday school this morning, which is good. Got a lot of people, some who are sick, some who are out of town this weekend. And so remember, next Sunday will be our high attendance day, back to Sunday school day. Remember, tonight we will have a fellowship, a back to school fellowship after the service tonight, so come be a part of that. I do, in a separate announcement, just want to commend you as members of Wigan Baptist Church. We got a letter from the Georgia Baptist the other day, and this church, through the cooperative program, gave $11,312 through the cooperative program. So give yourself a hand on that. But that's not where it ends. This church gave $25,032.17 for the ministries of the church. And so I do applaud you on that as well. How about birthdays? Anybody have a birthday today? Somebody's pointing a finger at somebody.
My youngest had a birthday.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
She's back there.
And his was on the 22nd.
Well, we'll sing it to you next week. How about that? Or you might just pass me. Okay. All right. All right. Well, we're going to let Brother Harold come up here and lead us in singing. Brother Lear, would you mind opening us up with a word of prayer, please, sir?
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday, God bless you, happy birthday to you.
All right, this morning, if you can, please stand as we sing, "Here I Am to Worship."
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Oh, bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross.
That's a beautiful hymn, or a beautiful song to me. All right, if you're looking in the hymnals, our next song will be 411, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. I promise you we're going to hear the music on this one. Thank you. We sing all verses. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Thank you.
Susan. Well, last week we looked in the book of Proverbs on wisdom and raising children. Today we're going to speak on the subject of wisdom in our marriages. Wisdom in our marriages. This morning, primarily, I'm going to be speaking to the men. And tonight, I'm probably primarily going to speak to the ladies. But can I tell you, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the
gander.
And if it's good for the gander, it's good for the
goose.
It's a two-way street. And so we're going to speak on the subject of marriage. Oh, many marriages today are struggling. It's not hard to see that when half the people you know have been divorced. It's not, you say, well, that's a problem outside the church. Can you believe that divorce rate inside the church is higher than it is outside the church? And yet we claim we have answers in Christ, but why are we looking to everything else to solve our problems? Oh, to me it doesn't mash up. But the point I'm trying to get is simply this: if we want to do things God's way, that means we are wanting to be wise, right? Because wisdom is living life the way God intends us to live it. Wisdom tells us that there are things we should do and there are things we should not do. And so if we want to do and be in God's will in our lives, in our marriages, then there are things we have to do to accomplish those if we want to be wise. There are many times around the time of Valentine's Day, I ask people to stand up if they've been married 10 or more years. And there will usually be quite a few people who stand up, they've been married 10 years or more. And then as you increase those numbers to 20 or to 30 or 40 or 50, guess what happens? Many of those start sitting down. If you've been married more than 5 years, you know that marriage can be a struggle. Amen? I get a witness. Because we have been led to believe that when we watch Disney or these other networks that they teach you and try to fill your head that marriage is some romantic comedy, right? That it's all fun and games and that you're going to get swept off your feet. Well, you might, but it's not going to be for very long. Amen? Because then reality comes on. Usually within the first 3 years of the honeymoon, you find out is over. And then the third, the fourth, and then they call the seventh year the seven-year what? Why they say that? I don't tell me. There's reasons that happens. And that's what I want to deal with today through the book of Proverbs and to lay out to us, because here's the thing. As I said this morning, I'm talking primarily to men. Men, you could say, well, she's not the woman I married. Can I tell you, you made her that way. Can I get a witness? You made her that way. Can I tell you something else? You ain't the man she married. Right? My wife said it. Marriage can be a blessing, or marriage can be difficult. But oftentimes we choose which direction we're going to make it go. And like I say, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 18:22, this is what Solomon says, he who finds a wife finds a what? A good thing. And obtains favor from the Lord. So right from the get-go, we realize that when somebody finds a wife, a man finds a wife, he has found a good thing and he has obtained favor from God himself. Why do we often try to, I want to get ahead of myself here, but oftentimes we forget that our wives are a blessing from God. God created the woman to be a what? A helper. Not a do-everythinger. Can I get a witness, ladies? A helper. I can't remember exactly how this goes. I thought about it this morning, but then I didn't have time to try to look it back up. God didn't take a bone out of Adam's head so that he could lord over, being a ruler over his wife Eve. God didn't take a bone out of Adam's feet that he could walk all over her. God took a rib from Adam's side because he wanted something to be close to him who was equal to him. Amen? And so as you walk through life, you walk together, you walk through life to do things God's way. She is a helper. She is comparable to him. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, it says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become what?
One.
You see, now we got the wrong attitude in marriage most of the time because we think before we get married that marriage is a 50-50 contract. Is that true? No. If you're only given 50%, that's the problem in your marriage. You're supposed to be given 100% of yourself and 100% of the spouse. The spouse is supposed to give also. And so when you both give everything, you two become one. But now can I tell you that in marriage, sometimes you have to do 125%. Sometimes you have to do 150%. Because the other is not able to do their part. So sometimes that is the case. But marriage that is done God's way will be a delight. But marriage done outside the will of God will be difficult. So the question comes down to this. Do you want your marriage to work? If you want it to work, then, and I believe most all of us would say we do, then we need to learn to do things the way God intends for us to do them. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 through 36. Listen to Solomon as he is speaking to his own kids. He says, now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. He's talking about the ways of God. Hear instruction and be what? In other words, don't just hear it, but do it. And do not disdain it. In other words, don't reject, don't push back on what the Word of God said. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and those who hate me love what? Love death. Now this is wisdom speaking here. I mean, Solomon is speaking for God, and God saying this, and wisdom's the way to go. Don't push back on it. Don't disdain it. Don't look down on it. Because God's way is the best way. God created us in specific roles, in specific ways to do life the way he intends for us to do it. And anytime we don't do things his way, guess what happens? We're left wondering what's going on. Well, if we're not doing it the way God instructed us and told us to do it, then we have reason to question why we've been doing what we've been doing. If we want to be successful in our lives, if we want to be successful in our homes, if we want to be successful in our marriages, then we must do our marriages, our lives, our homes the way God instructs us to. We need God's wisdom in our lives. There are two ways of life. Two ways. One is simply this, the way of wisdom, and the other is the way of folly, or foolishness, as you would say. Wisdom brings blessings in life, whereas foolishness or folly ends up in destruction and death. If we want our marriages to work, then we must work at our marriages. I'm going to ask you something, and y'all don't raise your hands. Do you work as hard at your at? Do you work as hard at your as? Y'all help me out. Do you work as hard at your marriage now than what you did before you got married? Remember the phone bills? You know, we didn't have a, well, maybe, you know, some of y'all didn't have. We used to have a thing that stuck to the wall, right? It had a cord about 50 foot long that would get all curled up and wound up, and every so often you had to stretch it out, and you could put take it all the way out there to the other side of the highway if you wanted to. But it was stuck to the wall. That was your privacy, right? There wasn't no privacy, because when you were talking, everybody else in the house was listening. That's how you had clean phone conversations, right? Well, here we know that we used to spend, well, this is the truth, where we lived at, where I lived at growing up, there was a 20-acre tract right next to us. We had 10 acres, they had 20 acres right next to us. There was nothing there, but all the house had torn down and piled up. On the other side of that 20 acres was the landline, the little phone cable that went from our county to the other. We lived on, I guess it would have been the east side of that cable, and that was all Lake Butler. From there, even though you lived in Bradford County, you had a Lake Butler phone number and a Lake Butler address. That was the divide line. But if you called somebody just on the other side of the 20 acres, you had to make a long distance phone call. Y'all remember that? And if you did that and you were dating somebody, guess who had to pay that part of the bill, because it was on the list and that number was on the list and the time, and you had to pay mom and dad for that phone call. But all those phone calls, we couldn't wait to talk to each other. We couldn't wait to drive across town just to see that person. Do we do that now? Do we spend time doing things the way God intends us to? There was a survey, this has been several years ago, but it was a survey that said that 71% of men would say, or said that they would marry the same woman again. That's pretty good. A little over 3/4 of men say, yeah, I'd marry the same woman. Can I say that when you flip that and ask the women if they'd marry the same man again? 50% said no. Guys, we're in trouble, right? We're in trouble. But it's sad to think that 37% of marriages, when asked if they were happy in their relationship, said, yeah, I would marry the same person again. Faithfulness is key to any relationship. So if you will, let's look over at Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. Here, Solomon is telling his son about what is good and what is bad. I want us to listen to these carefully. And just because he's speaking to his son doesn't mean that the ladies can tune this out, okay? Because it's part of you too. Let's begin reading chapter 5, verse 1. He says, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip with honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable, you do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and you say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin, in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for the strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth as a loving deer and a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times, and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Fathers, we have read this main passage this morning. Lord, I pray that you just lead us and guide us. Lord, help us to hear wisdom. Help us to hear instruction. Lord, help us to do life the way you have intended us to do it, because that is wisdom, Lord. And we want wisdom in our lives. We want wisdom in our marriages. We want wisdom in our homes. So, Lord, have your way in our hearts and lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in verses 15 through 23, we don't have to go back and look at it, but Solomon is wanting to tell his kids, his own son, about the dangers of an immoral woman, and he uses metaphors here. And he uses the word sister and a well and fountain as metaphors for the wife. In the first 14 verses of chapter 5, he tells his son about the dangers of adultery. And the Lord is saying, don't even go near, don't even go down that road. Don't let yourself be caught in these situations. Because if you do, there's danger in your marriage. But he also tells his son in verses 15 through 23 about the delight of marriage. That marriage doesn't have to be terrible all the time. There's wisdom in doing things God's way, and when we do it God's way, there is delight that comes with it. In verse 18, he tells his son to rejoice in the wife of his youth. Y'all may not know it, because I don't know if everybody's been in my office, but if you walk in my office and you look on top of my bookshelf, I've got, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 pictures of Amy and the kids on the bookshelf. So what? I've got them all over my house. Can I just give a point of help right here? There's a reason I married my wife, because I love her. And there's a reason I love her still, because she is not only my best friend, I know I have my best friend Craig, but That's a guy friend. My best friend is my wife, but then my children are a blessing to me. They are a heritage from the Lord. And so every time I walk in my office, I look up there at those pictures, and guess what it reminds me of? It reminds me of why and when and where I was when I fell in love with my wife. And I don't want to do anything that's going to interfere or damage that relationship. That's wisdom, right? That is wisdom. And we need to set those boundaries. But we also, when you go back and study the Old Testament, this isn't even in my notes. When you go back and study the Old Testament, what did they do every time they went to a new place and God did something? They built a monument, right? They built that monument to do what? To be reminded. To be reminded of what God did in their life, in their situation, when times were hard. They could go back to that place, and it was a time of worship for them because they would look and they would remember what God would do, and they would give God the glory for it. Now, this is an interesting statement, because it tells us to be enraptured with the wife of our youth. When's the last time you were enraptured with your wife? That word can be translated intoxicated. I hope y'all don't know what intoxicated means, right? We're in a Baptist church. But when was the last time you felt that? Do you know there is actually a hormone that is released when we touch a baby? That feeling you get when you touch a baby or a child and hold them close to you. But it's that same type of hormone that is released when a husband and wife come together and they touch one another. It releases that sense of well-being. That is why babies, when you don't pick them up for a long period of time, they begin to do what? They cry. They think they're all alone. And so when you go and pick them up, what happens? Hopefully they calm down, right? No. But it's just like a wife. She doesn't need us to fix everything. Sometimes she just wants us to listen. Wants us to hold her. I finally got to my first point this morning. How do you build your marriage up in wisdom the way God wants us to do life? Well, first thing, you have to talk to her. Remember, guys, I'm talking to you. Remember how much you talked to her before you got married. Could you win her heart today with the amount of time you spend talking to her today? Could you win her heart the same way you did 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, 50 years ago? Do we talk to one another? I'm not talking about talking down to. How much time do we spend actually talking? Ladies, if he didn't talk to you before he married you, that's on you. I'm just going to tell you right out front, that's on you. If he don't talk to you now and he didn't talk to you then, That's kind of on. You chose that road to go down, right? Survey said that the first year of marriage, couples spend 70 minutes a day talking to each other. The second year, it drops down to 30 minutes a day. The fourth year drops down to 15 minutes a day. By the eighth year, most marriages have become nearly silent with nothing but small talk. From 70 minutes a day down to nothing. And we wonder why we have problems. Communication is the key to all relationships. How can you be friends with somebody if you never talk to them? How can you make new friends if you never talk to them? How can you stay friends or continue on in life without speaking to somebody? If you don't talk to, if you don't communicate with a person, there's really no relationship. That's the same way with our spouses, same way with our kids, but it's also true with the Lord. Because if we're not talking to the Lord, we're probably not talking to our spouse either. We need to talk. But let me give you another survey. Studies say that women speak on average 25,000 words a day. Don't blame me now. This is what this is. Women spend 25,000 words a day talking. 10,000 of them come after 6 p.m. Yeah, 25,000 words, 10,000 is after 6 p.m. While men only speak 10 to 12,000 words a day, and most of them come before 4 p.m. Statistics. You can tell me I'm right or wrong. But after 4 o'clock, he's tired, he's heard all he wants to hear. Right? But now, hear me out on this. Because Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33 says, "Let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Let the wife see to it, or see that she respects her other." Paul is saying here, listen, you are to love your wife as Christ loved the church. You are to listen to her. You are to hear her, to meet her needs, to be there, to protect her, to guide her. All those things. You're to do all those things. There's wisdom in doing things God's way. Sometimes in marriages, there are some unrealistic expectations. I mentioned some of them earlier, like fairy tale movies that end up with this, 100-year relationship where there's never any crosswords or, you can live like millionaires on $2 a week. All those unreal expectations. Sometimes those are not only unreal expectations, but sometimes they're unbalanced by talking to each other. As I already mentioned about the statistics, 25,000 compared to 10 to 12,000 and at different times of the day, it's kind of hard for a man if he's gotten up at 4 o'clock in the morning, he went to work and worked 8, 10, 12 hours a day, and he comes home and there's all the communication going on. He's already spoken just about everything he needs to speak. So if you're going to try to speak to him at 11 o'clock at night and he's got to get back up at 4 o'clock, guess what? It doesn't work. Nothing. We need to pick what time and choose. And if we have to set a schedule, set a time to be able to come together and both talk and both put in and both share what is on their hearts and needs. We need to communicate with one another. Turn off your cell phones. Amen? God can't talk to you because you got your cell phone on. Amen? Because you're consumed with everything else the world has to say, but you don't want to hear from God. You don't want to hear from your spouse. So you block everything else out that's trying to come to you. You're not listening to the Lord. You're not listening to your spouse, your wife, or your husband. We need to take time to be together talking. Here's another point, guys. We're to make our wife number one priority next to God. Number one priority. There's a triangle I like to use sometimes that shows us and our me and Amy and God's up here at the top. And the closer I try to get to God, the closer Amy tries to get to God, guess what that naturally does to our relationship? It pulls us together. If you're not right with God, you're not right with your spouse. If you're not right with your spouse, you're not right with God. Okay? I bet they go hand in hand. The more I try to do what God wants me to do, the more Amy tries to do that God wants her to do, the closer we come to each other and the closer we come to God. Put God first. Another suggestion. And I know I fail at this quite often. Because guys, when something's wrong, what do we want to do?
Fix it.
How soon?
Now.
Sometimes she doesn't want us to fix her. She just wants us to listen. Amen? She don't need fixing. She just needs to talk about. She just needs to express what is going on in her heart and her mind. And if she wants your opinion, guess what? She'll ask. What should I do? Sometimes we're just there to listen. And say, well, you know, I've heard it all day long. I get that. But God gave us two ears and one mouth. Guess what that means we should do? Listen twice as much as we talk. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Remember that when you're speaking to your spouse, you're either speaking life into them or death into them. And that goes both ways, men and women, right? Husband or wife. We're to speak life into people, not death. So any words that are not uplifting and building them up is ultimately tearing them down. So we need to be careful to speak words of life into our spouses. Point number two, rejoice in the wife of your youth. You have to touch her. Now, I know we're in charge. As I mentioned earlier about the endorphins or whatever they call those hormones that are released when people touch, that is that same response as a child and a parent or a wife and her husband. It lets them know that everything's okay, that no matter what they're going through, it don't matter how much money you got in the bank, as long as she feels secure and safe in your arms, everything's going to be all right. She's going to trust you. But you got to talk to her, and you've got to trust her. Point number three, in order to rejoice in the life of your youth, you need to take time with her. Take time with her. Life can get crazy, right? Life can get crazy in a split moment. Things can change, and we've all been there. You know, to go spend time with her does not necessarily mean you got to take her to the most expensive restaurant in town. Amen.
That's right.
You can spend time with her if you go to. Well, let's don't use hard. Unless you come for breakfast, then that's okay. But you don't have to go to the most expensive place. Go to a place where the two of you just sit down and talk. Sit down and talk. You used to talk about your plans, your future, what you want to do, this, that, and other. So why stop? Why stop? Why should all that end once you say I do? That should continue on to accomplish what God would have us to do. Spend time with her. Take her on a good date night. Make her your world. Proverbs 27:8. Guys, this is a warning. Like a bird that wanders from its nest is a man who wanders from his, what? Place. What often happens when a bird falls out of the nest or wanders from its nest where it's not safe in the arms and protection of its mom and dad?
They
and anything that the world tear that bird up, cat, dog, snakes, anything and everything is trying to destroy. And that is the same way with men. They wander from the home, and that's the metaphor for the home, the nest. But when you strike out and do things that don't make sense, man, I'm kind of like Dorothy. Y'all know who Dorothy is? Who was she? She wore her little red glass slippers or ruby slippers. Dorothy and Wizard of Oz. There's no place like home. There's no place I would rather be. I don't mind going off other places, but man, all right. After 2 or 3 days, I'm done. I want to be back home. I want to be home. And guys, we should be that way. There's no greater place than for you to be home with your wife. If we want to be like Christ and love like Christ, then we need to live and love our wives as Christ loved the church. John 17:24. Listen to what Jesus says. It says, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. You know what Jesus is saying right there? He's praying to God the Father that he could be with us all the time. And what greater thing can we do for our wives, for our spouses, than to spend as much time as we possibly can together? Jesus longed to be with the church, and we should be longing to be with our wives also. So we need to take time to talk with our spouse, our wives. We need to take time to touch. We need to take time with our wives and sit aside and do things the way God intends us to do them, because if we don't, that means that we're acting foolishly. We're acting foolishly if we're not doing the things the way our marriage is the way God intends us to do them. Does it take work to work at marriage? If you're not working on your marriage, that means your marriage is in trouble. You can work on it, but you need to both work on it. You need to work on it together. Do what God wants us to. How about workaholics? Y'all even know any of them? Why not work on your marriage for a change? So we got trouble, you can fix everything else. Why not work on your marriage to make it better? Why don't you work on your marriage to make it what God intended it to be, so that you can experience the delight that God has for us when we do things His way? Teenagers, I'm not going to leave y'all out. Why not have wisdom and do things God's way? Find that person that God would have you to marry. The reality is each and every one of us one day will stand before God and give an account of our lives to Him. And when we stand before God, we're going to have to answer the first question, am I saved? The second question is, I believe that God's going to say, what have you done with what I've given you? What have you done with what I've given? If our wives is a blessing from the Lord, if our children are a blessing or heritage from the Lord, then why in the world wouldn't God say, okay, I've entrusted you with this, now what have you done with it? Have you made it better or have you made it worse? Marriages are hard. Marriages are tough. Marriages take two people working for the same goal, and that same goal should be to have a home that we are ready and willing to come home to worship together, to live together, to have children together, to raise godly children. What are we doing there? Are we making our homes a delight to come home to? Are we making it difficult? You know the answer. What are you going to do about it? We stand with me. Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation this morning, Lord, I know it's a difficult message. It's one we don't often hear. Because the world wants us to believe a lie that everything should be easy, and that if it's not easy, Lord, we should just kick them out and find another one. But Lord, when that happens, we have all the baggage from the first that we carry into the second, and then it carries on into the third oftentimes, and then into the fourth, and there are so many families that are hurt and struggling because oftentimes we just want to give up instead of doing things your way. Lord, I pray this morning, God, that you're working in hearts and lives. And Lord, if there's one here who's never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, then I pray that that would be the greatest commitment, Lord, that they would ever make. Lord, that they would just simply confess their sin to you and turn from it and start following you. Lord, I pray for those who are saved. Lord, who may be going through difficult times right now in their marriages. And Lord, I pray that you would just lead them and guide them in your ways. Lord, that they would seek out what you would have them to do in their relationship, Lord, and that they would both be willing to come together to honor you, to glorify you, to make marriage a delight instead of making it difficult. Lord, I pray that you would just use this time, Lord, to glorify yourself. Lord, I pray that we would leave from here today with having made decisions, Lord, that would impact our marriages, our families, our homes, and our church, and our community, and ultimately the state, nation, and around the world. Lord, every marriage, every divorce impacts so many more than just one or two people. Lord, help us to realize, Lord, the blessings that we have. Lord, help us to realize the wisdom in doing life your way. Lord, lead us and guide us now. Whatever decisions we need to make, God, I pray that we would just turn it over to you. And Lord, that we would trust you and follow your ways for our lives. I pray it this morning in Jesus' name.